Hey, it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Mark Allen Derry. He and I go way back. Mark Allen's an infectious disease physician. His work is kind of focused on addressing healthcare disparities through initiatives in social, environmental, and economic and racial justice. He served with the World Health Organization in Sierra Leone. That was during the Ebola outbreak. And he's also trained Ukrainian healthcare workers in trauma care. Because that's not enough to keep one guy busy. Mark Allen is also the founder and director of 102.3 FM Radio, WHIV, a station that airs this program. Mark Allen, welcome to the show.
Thank you
Thanks.
for having me. It's glad
Yeah.
I'm very happy to be back.
So we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff today, but we're going to start with this hantavirus situation, which has a lot of people scared, thinking, oh no, COVID 2
Yes.
is coming. And you're an infectious disease physician, so you've got kind of a probably a more scientific perspective on this than some might.
Yes. So first off, let me just say COVID-2 is likely coming, but it's not going to be this Hanta, and it's not anytime soon likely. And in fact, if we want, we could put a pin and talk about what in this segment, talk about the H5N1 bird flu virus that's circulating right now that we're not hearing much about. And I think it's important. And I think in the context of where I'd like to kind of draw some threads together, which is, kind of the US public health care system, which I think is failing, and it's largely failing by the folks at the top who are purposely kind of pushing us in that direction.
We
But
are
that's
hearing.
ultimately where I think we should end up, because I think.
Okay. And we are hearing about bird flu in Iowa because we've had tens of
Go ahead.
thousands of confinement birds die because of it.
Good. Okay. There has been,
But.
there was a really fascinating study that came out in California last week, but I'll kind of loop around here to that.
Hey, can
So
we
essentially, the hantavirus.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we start with just
Go
defining
ahead.
what is the. My impression is hantavirus is caused primarily by mice.
So the hantavirus is a virus. It's a group of viruses. Imagine like a Ford or a Toyota, of which there are many other, that's the grouping, that's the name of the family. And then there's multiple other viruses in that iteration of hantavirus. So the US has a hantavirus. It's found mostly in the West. So it was first discovered in 1992, 1993 on the Navajo reservation. And that virus is called the sin nombre virus, the virus without a name, so-called because the Navajo people, after the outbreak occurred, did not want it to be called the Four Corners virus, because that would stigmatize
Sure.
the Four Corners and affect tourism, so they ended up calling it sin nombre. So this particular virus, as all of them do, this virus is called the Andes virus, which is found mostly in Chile and Argentina. And this virus likely started in Argentina. It does cause very serious illnesses, kind of like what Ebola causes. These mortality rates are quite high. Hantavirus causes two distinct illnesses. One, that's the cardiopulmonary syndrome, which affects the heart and the lungs, and one that affects the kidneys. Both of them have mortality rates between 40 to 50%. And what we are seeing right now is there's three deaths, eight cases with three deaths. So we're seeing something that resembles more like 40-ish percent or so. And so the thing about the virus is that it affects the insides of the blood vessels, and the inside of the blood vessels are called endothelial cells, and it attacks those cells. When it attacks those cells, it makes the vessels very leaky. So you end up getting a fluid in your lungs, or you can get the hemorrhagic syndrome where you could bleed into various parts of your body as well. It also affects the kidneys. So all this to say, this is a very serious illness. It has a very high mortality rate. So going back to what you had said, that you thought that this was transmitted by mice or rodents, and it is. Again, the US was first alerted to this in 1992. I was in public health school at the time, and we saw it in the deer mice in living on the Navajo reservation. That year was it was an El Nino year in which there was heavy rains that were brought to the areas. Consequently, those rains led to a higher piñón seeds. So there was, because of the extra rains, you got extra vegetation. And because of this extra vegetation, it was able to carry a heavier load of rodents that particular year, because there was more food for the rodents. And then consequently, the rodents and humans interacted, and there you got transmission of the hantavirus through the droppings of the deer mice. So in this case now, and in fact, I took care of several cases of hantavirus when I did my public health service payback on the Navajo reservation some 10 years later. So there I was as a public health student studying it. Little did I knew that the next outbreak that would occur would be on my watch. And I actually diagnosed the first case. Nobody believed me, but she ended up being confirmed by the CDC as having a
And
hantavirus. And
what
there were
year was
six
that?
cases that year. This was in 2005, 2005,
2005.
2006.
Now, it was I first became aware of the disease in, oh yeah, it'd be late 90s, early 2000s, believe it or not, because I was driving through a small town in rural Iowa, Gladbrook, and I had just happened to I took a break and I just thought I'd pick up the newspaper, bought a paper, and I read a heartbreaking story about an 11-year-old boy in the town of Gladbrook who had died because of exposure to the mouse droppings, the article said. I felt so bad about it. I wrote the family a letter. And I actually, interesting story, but years later they wrote back and it was we kind of established a little bit of a connection, but that was my first awareness of it. And so maybe it had moved beyond the Southwest, even as early as, like I said, late 90s, early 2000s.
Sure. I mean, I in an area where there is that particular mouse that carries the virus, the C. nominative virus, it's areas that are dusty, dry. You would think of it as, areas like barns or garages or attics. So this is why we tell people, if you're living in that area, be sure to wear PPE, gloves, mask, N95 masks, that sort of respirators, that sort of stuff. Remember, this is also the same virus that the wife of Gene Hackman was found dead with, right? So she had been exposed to it and passed. And of course, Gene Hackman had been so was needed so much care at that point in his life that he wasn't able to alert any authorities that she had passed, and then he wasn't able to care for himself, obviously, and he passed away soon afterwards as
So
well.
what caused the people on the cruise ship to
So,
come
okay,
down?
so this is where, at this point, this leads to, this is why I say there is a notable dearth of leadership here in the US and at the CDC. And we don't know exactly what happened. At this point, at any other outbreak, we would have a much better idea of what happened. So I'm going to preface this part of the segment by saying, right now, a lot of what I'm about to say is, I'm going to kind of temper each comment with this is speculation versus this is what we know. Okay, so what I'm about to say now is speculation. What we do know is that there was an index case of a couple. That couple was bird watching. They were bird watching, and I've heard this several different ways. Were they bird watching prior to boarding the ship in Argentina, or were they already on the ship? Excuse me. And then they started bird watching. And so we don't know, because that's very significant, because if they were bird watching ahead of time and then they entered the cruise and then there was transmission, that's one form of transmission versus if they were with other people who were bird watching with them. And as if they were already on the cruise, these are one of these cruises that these are like high, I forget, they're high excursion cruises. In other words, every day you're encouraged. In fact, you do this cruise so that you can do these very off the beaten track, off the beaten track sort of experiences or excursions. And so I don't know if this is, if the bird watching was part of the excursion as part of the cruise, or were they just bird watching ahead
So
of time?
it's not just
Also,
it's not just mice that can cause this.
it's rodents.
Rodents. So how do the rodents fit into that scenario?
Well, that's a much deeper, and it would take me an hour, and I would love to have an hour of your time to explain how to define what is truly an infection, because what you're asking now is really a fundamental infectious diseases question. But suffice it to say that we know that animals bats in the form of Ebola, with COVID, we know, or even with SARS-CoV-1, that there's an intermediary animal that does not get sick from that virus. That every virus has to have a host, right? A virus can't exist on its own in the environment. There has to be a host to host that virus. It's almost like a kind of a parasite, if you will, to a certain degree. And so in this case, the hantavirus, all the different hantaviruses around the world all use some form of a rodent as its vector, as its intermediary, if you will, before it jumps species. And in this case, when it jumps species, it causes death, or it can cause, it has a high mortality rate to humans. It causes very profound illness.
Which sounds like that's what's happening on Tuesday.
So, so, but here's the tricky thing, is that prior to this Andes species, like, listen, I've spent years, decades studying viruses, and you can't memorize every virus. You can't, like, I know the big classifications, but depending on where you are in the world, there's different iterations of that virus. And so if you'd asked me a week and a half ago, is hantavirus transmitted person to person, that would have been a hard no. That would have been like, no, that is definitely not how hantavirus is transmitted. It's definitively transmitted from rodent droppings that get aerosolized when you're sweeping or what have you. It aerosolizes, and then you inhale those aerosolized particles. That's the dried particles where the virus is.
How about
But in
now?
this case, what we're this is truly something that is unusual for us. This is a new, it's not new, like the Andes virus was known, but it wasn't, if you were not in Argentina or if you're not studying this in Argentina or Chile, you're not going to necessarily know. But here's the kicker. The kicker is we don't know what that transmissibility is. The only one article that we have that we know that is in a notable journal about the Andes virus, this hantavirus, is a study in which there was a man who attended a birthday party in Argentina. He was febrile. He was having fever, so presumably he was symptomatic. And he was was able to transfer or to infect 34 other people at this party, even in areas and people that he didn't necessarily hug that were kind of nearby. So this was likely a super spreader event.
So
This is
34 people
not a typical thing that happens with this.
So 34
Got
people got
Hunta.
sick. Wow, okay.
Yes, at, right. So he was able to infect, obviously inadvertently, but we refer to that as the R naught, the reproductive number. If one person has it, how many other people would get it? This is a highly unusual situation. That is not the typical thing with this virus. This virus, for example, measles has an R naught of like 12 to 18. One person can infect between 12 to 18 people. A COVID at one point had an R naught of 9 and 10, but now the R naught is like 2 or 3. HIV has an R naught of like 2 or 3. This Andes species typically has an R naught of 0.8 to 1.2.
So,
But what we are seeing is much greater transmission rates than the R naught would predict.
I've only got a little time left here, but the on this segment, what is the risk of this becoming a much more serious health concern at this point?
Very little, very little, because
Okay.
that R naught is so small. That R naught, the thing with COVID is the R naught was much greater. And because it was much greater, it had a greater R naught, and that virus also was mutating pretty rapidly. And so we were always trying to keep ahead of it. This virus does not have that same R naught. Also, the COVID virus is transmitted through person to person through through a respiratory route, whereas this virus is not necessarily transmitted person to person through the respiratory route. It's likely through touch. But there's a lot that we don't know. And this kind of goes back to that the when the RF when RFK became the head of the Health and Human Services, HHS, he kind of One of the things that he did is he kind of doged a lot of CDC. I think a third of the employees were unfortunately doged. And with that, part of the expertise that left were kind of these cruise ships, these experts that do these cruise ship outbreak evaluations. And so we just aren't getting the information from the CDC that we need. I anticipate, Ed, that we will learn more and more as time goes on. But I think the big takeaways are this is not going to be another COVID. Hunt is not going to be another COVID. That is something that we're not going to see. It is a scary disease, but unless you were on that cruise ship or you are with somebody, like somebody on that cruise ship lives with you, because we're now starting to see Americans come home, they're actually being sent to a containment unit in Nebraska.
And is there another a big takeaway from this? Or is that it
I think
primarily?
that no, that's kind of the big takeaway
Okay.
from this as well. I think the other, just to kind of wrap that up real quickly, as how we started, is that really one of the main currencies in public health is that trust. Trust is a major currency. And what we are seeing is this degradation of trust. And when you don't have somebody like the CDC who's upfront talking to us every day, and they are giving us very clear kind of information as to what is happening, especially why do we not know more about these transmission that is happening on the cruise, as well as when people are leaving the cruise ship on planes and when they're going home. We need to know more about this so that we understand more about it. But essentially, we're seeing a degradation of trust, and I think it's going to take generations in the U.S. to rebuild that trust.
Hey, Mark Allen, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, folks, Dr. Mark Allen Derry, an infectious disease physician working in New Orleans.